Psalm number 14. Boy, I'll tell you, it starts off with a real bang. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Now, I'm not going to preach this, and it won't be in the message, so I want to share this with you. And it was a little bit of humor and a little bit of truth at the same time that might be a blessing to you. Dr. B.R. Lakin, I was here listening to him preach several years ago, and Dr. Lakin said he landed at the airport in Cincinnati, Ohio, to begin a revival meeting there in one of the Baptist churches in the greater Cincinnati area. That may have very well been in Covington. I don't know if it was the greater Cincinnati area. And Dr. Lakin said that he hollered for a taxi cab and said the taxi driver stopped me. He said, sir, he said, I'll carry you if you don't mind. And it was real busy. And he said, if you don't mind, I've got another gentleman in here, just one man. I wanted to drop him off, and then I'll carry you to your destination. Dr. Lakin said, that's fine with me. I need a cab. He throwed his bag in the cab, and the cab driver opened the back door, and he climbed in. And said when he climbed in, said the fellow looked at him and said, my name's so-and-so, and I'm from so-and-so place, and I'm a businessman here on business. And Dr. Lakin said, my name's B.R. Lakin. I'm a Baptist preacher. And said, I'm here on God's business. I've come to preach the gospel. Said the man looked at him with a quite astonished look on his face and said, I don't believe in God. Dr. Lakin said, I know who you are. Said, you're a fool. Said, I've read your name. Said, you're a very popular man. Said, your name is in the Bible. Said, the Bible said the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And that's true, gentlemen, that's true. Said, they are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside, they are altogether become filthy, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. That scripture, by the way, is repeated in the book of Romans, chapter number 3. There's none good, no, not one. And by the way, this is not in my text either, but this particular psalm is quoted again, I believe in Psalm 54, I believe it's Psalm 54, almost word for word, except verse number 5 has changed a little bit. And so it carries a great deal of weight, gentlemen, in the mind of God. And he said, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. Father, now bless the reading of your word. Help us this morning to have great understanding, and may our hearts be lifted and moved for the glory of God. Fill us, I pray, with joy unspeakable and the glory of God. Help us, Lord, to understand and to glorify you and to live a righteous and holy life that will bring honor to your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Fellas, I would like to teach this morning out of verse number 7 on Israel's captivity and bringing the time of that captivity back and the rejoicing that it shall bring, no doubt dealing with the millennial reign of Christ. But I want to look at the psalm primarily on a whole, as I've been trying to do, and share with you just a few thoughts that I believe will help us this morning. Now, most of the commentators that I read after, and by the way, most of them are just commentators. Fellas, they just put their britches on the same way we put ours on. Just because a man's got a string of letters behind his name that long, it doesn't mean a thing, to be honest with you. It means that he's a studious man. But you can study and not gain a lick of knowledge and understanding from the Word of God. And it's kind of like somebody said, the curl in a pigtail is a cute little thing, but doesn't add any flavor to the pork. And neither does all the titles behind a preacher's name. It doesn't add one thing or one bit of grace or virtue to that man. But I think most of them will readily agree that once again, this psalm cannot be accurately fixed upon any certain event in the life of David. In its completeness, though, it does most vividly portray the principles and the practices of those who oppose the gospel of Christ in all ages. Now, I want you to get a hold of that, what I just said, because I'm going to be using that some this morning. It does picture that man by the name of Fool, who opposes Christ and His gospel in all the ages. Not any particular generation, but in all ages. I mean, there's none. He said there's none. They've all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. He looked down from heaven at the children of men to see if there were any that did understand or if there was any that did seek God. And he come to the conclusion, there's none. There's not a one. They've all turned aside. Now, the word fool, though, although the commentators now, I said the commentators, agree that this psalm cannot be fixed in the life of David in any particular event. But the word fool, thou the fool, has said in his heart. The fool has said in his heart. The fool in this verse 1 may give us a hint, and this is me now, this is not a commentary, may give us a hint to the origin of the hymn in the heart of David. In the Hebrew, gentlemen, that word fool in the Hebrew means Nabal. That is the word, Nabal. Now, somebody said, Brother Hall, what is so insignificant about that? Well, it's highly possible now that when David wrote this psalm, he had on his heart or was thinking about Abigail's husband, the man Nabal, in 1 Samuel chapter number 25. You need to read that. And even Abigail, when she contemplates the action or the response of Nabal toward the kindness of David, Abigail said he was rightly named. Nabal is without a doubt his name. And the word Nabal means to be a fool. And if you'll read that chapter, David had sent young men, shearers, young men, to go to Nabal while he was shearing his sheep and to ask Nabal of a gift. He said, just be kind to us. Show us some kindness. He said, now, those young men said, Nabal, your shearer, said, your sheepmen, your sheep herders, your shepherds, said, we never bothered them. We never robbed from the flock. Said, we had enough power that we could overcome them, took all the sheep, killed your herd, took it for ourselves. But said, we showed you your shepherds kindness while they were with the sheep. Said, now return that favor to us and give us some food to sustain us and to help us and keep us. And Nabal said, I would, and I'm just paraphrasing. Nabal said, I owe you nothing. I don't care how kind you've been to me, I owe you nothing. And it enraged David. David got really beside himself. And Abigail, being a wise woman, knew that David would be enraged because of Nabal's action, gathered together all manner of food and this and the provisions, and went out to meet David. And I've read this verse so many times, let me read it again. When Abigail came to David, here's what she said. She said, I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen up to pursue thee, talking about Saul, and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound with a bundle of life, with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And gentlemen, when we look at that in its truth and try to apply it, what this is Saul pursuing David, David showing kindness to Nabal, Nabal rejecting that kindness becomes a fool. And may I say to you, gentlemen, that God, that Jesus, God, for Jesus' sake, has showed kindness to you and I just like He did Mephibosheth. And a man that rejects the kindness and love of God is an absolute fool. He is a man with no understanding, a foolish man to reject that. But yet the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There is no God. That fool. Now, I want to define that word for you. If I can get this stupid thing untied, I've never in my life seen they make church like this. Yeah, I'm going to start dressing like Brother Robert back there and coming to church without a stupid necktie. I can't get it off. I'll have to wait till later. But the foolish man, I've only got, I think, 2 points with a couple, with maybe 1 point with some 4 sub-points. The foolish man, the fool has said in his heart, that word can be defined, or some translate it, to mean apostate. And an apostate is someone that stands apart from an original position. It's someone that is away from God. Others translate the word to mean a wretch. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, I never was guilty of being a Nabal. I beg your pardon, for we have all gone aside. We're all together become filthy. We're all like sheep that's gone astray. Oh, yes, my friend. And if it wasn't for the kindness of God pursuing us in our lost estate and seeking us out and revealing His love and kindness to us, we would still be a Nabal, wrapped up in sin, without God and without hope. But I'm going to show you where a man becomes a fool. It's when he says no to that love that's manifested for him. That's when that man becomes a fool. And the word here is Nabal. I've already said that. And it has the signification of fading or dying or falling away as a withered leaf or a flower. Are you hearing me? It has the idea of grass that springs up and then just withers away. Gentlemen, that is the consummation of a fool. Read what happened to Nabal. In Nabal's end, God just turned him to a pillar of stone. And that's exactly the outcome of a foolish man rejecting the gospel of the grace of God. You know what that is? That is a reprobate. Unable to comprehend light. No ability to understand spiritual things. That's right. That's a Nabal, a falling away. It is a title given to a foolish man having the lost, the juice of his sap. Got no sap in him. He's lost his juice. He has no wisdom. He has no reason. He has no honesty. And he has no godliness. And might I reiterate, it is a man that has been turned over to a reprobate mind. Huh? Are you hearing me this morning? Are you listening to me? John Trapp calls him that is sapless, or John Trapp calls him that is sapless, a sapless fellow, that carcass of a man, that walking sepulcher of himself, in whom all religion and right to reason is withered and wasted, is dried up and decayed. That man, that fool, is a man without life. He's a man with no sap, fellas. He's withered and wasted, dried up and decayed, and he doesn't have the right to reason or the ability to reason. You know, Isaiah said, "Come now, let us reason together," saith the Lord. This fool, this Nabal, this man has gone beyond the ability to sit down and to reason with God. I want to say to you, we're there in 1997 in a lot of areas of life. That's right. And I'll point out some of these in just a minute. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. It is worthy, fellas, to notice that he does not say, there is no Jehovah. He didn't say there is no Jehovah. He didn't say, in other words, he didn't say the fool who said in his heart, there is no Lord. Huh? Or he said that he didn't say there is no Jehovah, but there is no Elohim. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. Deity in the abstract is not so much the object of this man's attack, but it is that God of covenants, of personal ruling and governing in the presence of God in the world. Now, if you get, let me just break that down, what I'm saying. The fool said in his heart, there is no God. What he's saying is, there is no Lord. There is no Lord to rule and govern in the affairs of men. Hey, gentlemen, he would never say that there is no God, a deity. Huh? I mean, all men believe in a deity. Even the Muslims, the Islamic faith believes in a deity. The Mormon faith believes in a deity. The Catholic faith believes in a deity. I've got news for you, gentlemen. Bill Clinton believes in a deity. Bill Clinton is not a man that would say, there is no God in heaven. But Bill Clinton is a man that would say, there is no God in heaven that rules and governs in the lives of men in the earth. You know, that was, Nebuchadnezzar was headed down that line. Nebuchadnezzar did not deny that there was a God in heaven, gentlemen, but he did deny that there was a God that had the power through providence to divinely intervene in his life and to rule in the affairs of men upon the earth. Are y'all following me? Y'all know where I'm at now? You see, mankind never denies the existence of a God. But they do deny the existence of a God that has the power to run their life. Men do not. What did those Jews say when they went to crucify the Lord? Away with that man. Crucify that man. For we will not have this man to do what, gentlemen? Rule over us. That's right. People want a God that they can pull out of the closet and play with, but they don't want a God to get them out of the mess they're in and to rule and reign in their life as a supreme Lord, Master, Overseer of their life. That's why they miss salvation. That's why the Hiles crowd, gentlemen, is going to hell. They've never received God as Lord of their life, ruling sovereignly in their affairs as their Master, amen, as their Sovereign in their life. That's right. That's it, buddy. You better know that that's right. Oh, everybody wants a God. They want a God when they're in trouble. They want a God when they're sick. But they don't want a God to tell them what to do. I know that's exactly right. That's Clint. We're leaving in the morning for a vacation. Boy, and I'm tickled pink about going. And I read in the paper the other day where that Bill Clinton was on Martha's Vineyard. That's right where we're going. He'll be there next week when we get there. He'll be there. I thought it was kind of comical. The article went on, showed him shaking hands with people sitting in rocking chairs on a porch, I guess, of a restaurant there where they'd come out from eating. And it said below that picture that President Clinton and Hillary said that greeting people on Martha's Vineyard after they've come out of church and had lunch. And I thought, how much of a fool can you be? There is no doubt a man, gentlemen, that believes in a deity or he would not be in church. Oh, yes, he believes in a deity. But you hear me well. He doesn't really believe that that deity has got a power to stand him before judgment seat and to find him guilty of crimes and sin and injustice and unbelief and ungodliness and sentence him to a lake of fire forever and eternity. Oh, no, he doesn't believe that. I thought, how long, God, they... You see, a man that believed, gentlemen, in killing babies, that believes in sodomites with the same as being an alternate lifestyle, and tips his toddies and sucks his suds and smokes his joints with Willie Nelson on top of the White House, and you go tell me that egg sucker believes that there's a God that has the power to govern his life and rule and reign in his life? No, sir, buddy. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He's a Nabal. Oh, there's a God, but Nabal said there's a God, but there ain't a God going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do what I want to do myself. Isn't that where the world's at? Says, man, I've never seen the world so religious. Brother Chris, we're right religious all throughout the world. We're, I mean, really religious. The world wants a God. The world wants a God, but they don't want a God to rule their life. They don't want a God to rule their life. Amen. I've got something here. I'm trying to find it. I thought it was at the right place. Now, I want to say four things about this fool. I want to say, number one, they are depraved in their heart. They're depraved in their heart. Gentlemen, you're looking at a preacher that believes in total depravity. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. I don't care what the Southern Baptist Convention believes, that a man has a spark of divinity in him, and all it needs is fan the spark, and it'll become a flame, and a man can put on deity or the nature of God within himself. I don't believe that mess for a minute. Oh no. Somebody said, well, all a sinner has to do, all a man, is just believe on Jesus Christ. Thou fool, how can a dead man believe except he be quickened and made alive first? You hear me well. There's no sinner ever believed in God until that man is first made alive. Now, you call me whatever you want to call me, gentlemen. I don't really give a flip. You call me a Calvinist if you want to, but I'm telling you, a dead man does not have the ability to believe, walk, talk, smell. If you think that I'm telling you a lie, go up to Barnett Strother's this afternoon, walk in the chapel, and tell that dead man in there to get up. Tell him to listen to you. Talk to you. Wink at you. Can't do it. And neither can a man that's dead in sin. I believe in total depravity of man. But look here. Look here, let's follow now. This man is depraved in his heart. Notice what the verse says. For the fool has said, where'd the fool say it, gentlemen? In his heart. That there is no God. Now I'm fixing to bring this thing right on down where we can get a hold of it. It's not so much that this man professes outwardly that there's not a God. It's not so much that he's really a real atheist. Are you following what I'm saying? But he said there is no God in his heart. And so what we're looking at here is not altogether a principle. I mean a practice, but a principle. Let me just read this. That is their principle. They say in their hearts, there is no God. It is true, they did not absolutely profess it, but it was the principle whereby all their actings were regulated and which they were conformed unto. If you can get a hold of what I just said, fellas, and I hope you can. When they say in their heart, there is no God, that is a principle of life. That is a principle that causes them, or should I say, that propels their actions. Are you hearing? Oh, in other words, they say with their lips, they say inwardly, there is no God, but with their walk in life, they say there is no God. Am I totally confusing you? Huh? They want a God they can control. And the God they can control are themselves. I've done see, I've buried some of you. Romans 1:21, they began to worship the creature more than the Creator. Does everybody know what I'm talking about now? In other words, this is a principle of life. They only profess in their heart. They say in their heart. In other words, Bill Clinton went to church on Sunday morning, and outwardly, Bill Clinton said, for a minute, he said, there is a God, there's a deity, so I'm going to church. He said that, but in his heart, sitting in that church, what Bill Clinton said, there's not any God that I've got to give any account to. I'm not accountable to nobody. I'm my own God. And by the way, gentlemen, that's exactly what the Alcoholics Anonymous teaches, that you are your own God, that through your own power you can conquer, you can win, you can do it. I've got news for you. You can't do it without God. It takes God in a man's life. It takes God in a woman's life. You're not going to conquer sin apart from God. That's right. I know that's right. They want a God they can control. And that's themselves. They can control them, or they think they can. That's right. Now notice what he says here. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. In other words, they're corrupt in their mind. They're corrupt in their mind, and they're abominable in their affections. Corrupt in mind. They say there is no God. Oh, how foolish. To be, Paul said in Romans 8, to be carnally minded is death. But I'll tell you what we need, gentlemen, some converted minds. Amen. They're depraved in their heart. And I'll have to go on to this to get everything out. They're defiled in their life. Depraved in the heart, defiled in their life. Listen to what I'm getting ready to say now. They have done abominable, or they have done abominations. What it said, they have done abominable, the abominable works. They are corrupt in their minds. They've become abominable in their doings. Listen now, get it, gentlemen. They're corrupt in their minds, therefore they've become abominable in their doings. Now get a hold of this. Get a hold of this. They're corrupt before God and abominable before men. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Is not men like Bill Clinton an abomination in your eyes? And it's first of all because he's corrupt in the eyes of God. He's depraved in his heart, therefore he is corrupt in the eyes of God. But he's defiled in his lifestyle, therefore he's an abominable or an abomination in the eyes of men. That's right. Note verse number 3. Note verse number 3, if you would, please. He said they are gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. I missed it. It's verse number 2, gentlemen. I'm sorry. Said the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Listen to this saying. And I tell you, when I had to read it a few times before I got a hold of it. There are those who neither understand nor seek God. And they're dead. There are those who understand Him, but seek Him not. And they're wicked. And there are those that seek Him, but understand Him not. And they're foolish. Now get a hold of that, gentlemen. A man that seeks God, that understands God or seeks God, understands Him not, but seek Him anyway, they're fools. You say, Brother Hall, who are you talking about? I'm talking about lost church members, gentlemen, that sit on the pews of churches and pretend to seek God, but have absolutely no understanding of spiritual things at all. With their lips, they profess to know Him. But they're abominable in every good work. There it is. With their lips. Bill Clinton Jr. professed to know Him, but with their works they deny Him. In every good work, being reprobate and abominable in the eyes of God. By the way, that was said by John Mason Neal many, many long years ago, fellas. Let me read it by you again. There are those that neither understand nor seek God, and they're dead. They're dead. There are those who understand Him but seek Him not, and they're wicked. Let me say to you that you are full of wickedness, gentlemen, if you understand God and don't take your Bible to try to find out who He is. And there are those that seek Him but understand Him not, and they're fools. Now, see, I've done lost some of you. But the fool's depraved in his heart, he's defiled in his life, and he's devouring in his character. Notice, if you would, verse number 4. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up My people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? Who eat up My people as they eat up bread and call not upon the Lord? Do they not have any knowledge at all? Are all the workers of iniquity, are they without knowledge? What about this devouring character? They devour the people of God, get me now, and they do it daily, gentlemen. How often do you eat your bread? I'm trying to describe the fool to you who's depraved in his heart, defiled in his life, devouring in his character. That is, that he makes every effort possible to eat up the people of God. He devours them. Listen to what this says. As pikes in a pond eat up little fish. Any of you men got fish at the house? You got any aquariums in your home? You got a little bit bigger than some of the other roosters go pecking at the other roosters and chickens and peck their tail ends and peck all their feathers out of them? Well, as pikes or fish in a pond, chickens in the pen, whatever you want to say, eat up the little fish, as eagles prey on smaller birds, and as wolves rend the sheep of the pasture, so sinners naturally and as a matter of course persecute, malign, and mock the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you get a hold of what I said, gentlemen? It is a natural thing. And I'm getting ready to show you why. It's a natural thing for an unregenerate man to persecute, mock, criticize, rail on, and try his best with his tongue to devour the people of God. It's just a natural thing. Look in verse number 6. He said, ye have shamed the counsel of the poor. They've shamed the counsel of the poor. That is, that they're cowards themselves, gentlemen. But by making an effort to devour the people of God, they shame the counsel of God's children. Now, get a hold of this. Notwithstanding their own cowardness, they put on the lion skin and lord it over the poor. He said, you have shamed the counsel of the poor because the Lord is his refuge. I'm going to tell you, that fool, that Nabal, that depraved man, that defiled man, that devouring man is a coward in his heart. But he'll put on the skin of a lion and do his best to be a lord over the people of God. In other words, I'm going to straighten you out. I know more than you do. And I'm going to straighten you out on everything because I am much more intelligent than you are, because you claim to know God and to be wise, and you act so meek and so lowly. You've got the character of a sheep, but look at me. I'm a big lion and I'm fixing to gobble you up. Fellas, may I say, it's like the story of the three billy goat Gruffs. They had to cross a bridge that went up to the hillside where they could eat grass and get fat. And the little billy goat Gruff went across that bridge, and his little feet said, trip, trap, trip, trap, trip, trap. There's a troll lived under there that was mean, ugly, and bad. And he called up to that little old sheep and said, what are you doing walking across my bridge? And the little sheep said, I'm going up the hillside to make myself fat. Joel said, no, you're not. Said, I'm going to come up and gobble you up. He said, oh, please don't do that. Said, middle-sized Billy Goat Gruff's coming along here any minute. Said, he's much bigger than I am. Wait for him. Troll said, then be on your way. In a few minutes, here comes this middle-sized Billy Goat Gruff, and his feet were just a little heavier on the bridge. Trip, trap, trip, trap, trip, trap. The troll said, who's that walking across my bridge? Middle-sized Billy Goat Gruff said, it is I, Billy Goat Gruff, and I'm going up to the hillside to eat grass and make myself fat. The troll said, no, you're not. I'm going to come up and gobble you up. He said, oh, please don't do that. He said, wait for big Billy Goat Gruff. Said, he's much larger than I am. He said, then be on your way. Just a few minutes, here come that other goat. And as that other goat walked on that bridge, it wasn't trip, trap, trip, trap. It was trap, 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 trap. And the troll said, who's that walking across my bridge? And in just as gruff a voice as the troll had, the voice returned, it is I, Big Billy Goat Gruff. And I'm going up to the hillside to eat grass and make myself fat. Troll said, oh, no, you're not. I'm going to come up and gobble you up. Now, look here. Big Billy Goat Gruff said, come on. Are you listening to me? Come on. And when the troll jumped up on the bridge, he didn't realize Big Billy Goat Gruff had huge horns, stout shoulders, masculine, well-built. He is an old pro at fighting trolls. And he dropped his head and with one mighty blast of his antlers pushed that troll down into the gorge, and he was forever captured or forever descending into the depths of that bottomless gorge. May I say to you, gentlemen, that we might be little Billy Goat Gruff and middle-sized Billy Goat Gruff, and the devil might be living under our bridge, but I'm telling you, I know a big Billy Goat Gruff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you hearing me? He's got, hey, if he'll do his best, hey, are you listening, to devour little Billy Goat Gruffs and middle-sized Billy Goat Gruffs. But son, when that big brother of mine comes along, hallelujah to God, I'll tell you, he's much stronger than the troll is, gentlemen. And though the wicked make their endeavors to devour the meek and feeble people of God, thank God we've got a brother that's stronger than we are, that's ready and able and powerful enough to defend our honor in the presence of the devil. That's right. Though fools themselves, they mock at the truly wise, but this can be expected. I want you to hear this. For how should brutish minds appreciate excellence, and how can those who have owl's eyes admire the sun? That's a Nabal, gentlemen. They cannot admire the excellence of holiness. Neither do they have the ability to look into the sun. Now, I'm fixing to bring this right down, right on where the rubber meets the road. I'm talking about the depravity of man, his defiled life, his devouring nature, trying to devour the poor, the people of God. Hear me well, and this is the bottom line of it. The fool pretends to hate the godly for many reasons. But gentlemen, you know what the ground of it all is and the bottom line of all of it is? Why he really hates us? Do you know why Nabal, sitting in the church pew in churches, really hates God's people there? Tell us, Brother Jerry. That's right. But they are envious of our holiness. That's the bottom line, gentlemen. That is the bottom line of all persecution from Nabal, is because he is envious of the holy nature that God has bestowed upon the children of God. And look here, it goes all the way back to Satan. You know what he's trying to do? He wants what we have and can't have it because he's a Nabal. That's it. That was Satan's problem in heaven. He wanted what God had and he couldn't have it. And so his only alternative was to persecute, to try to make himself look like something that he is not. I'm telling you, the devil don't like holiness, friend. And unholy people don't like holy people. That's right. Every fool, get this now, every fool that saith in his heart, there is no God, hath out of the same quiver a bolt to shoot at the goodness of men. Boy, I like what I'm getting ready to say. Barren Michael hath many sons who, like their mother, jeer at a holy David. You hear what I'm saying? Y'all read the story about Michael? How that when David come into Jerusalem with that ark, doing that holy dance, and old Michael began to rail on the man of God and accuse him of displaying his manliness before the women there in the town. God said, God struck her barren. She never gave a child because of it. And I'm going to tell you what, she's got some youngsters running around all over the country today that will do their best to jeer and mock and ridicule the people of God. Gentlemen, can I say this? I want you to just listen carefully to what I'm getting ready to say. And it's been kind of slow this morning. That's all right. God knows what He's doing. He may be waiting for the preaching hour. I want you to hear me well. I have seen people in church that it can get on in the church service. Are you following me? I mean, it can just get plumb out of banks in the church service. And I've seen some people shout and run all over the building and praise God and have a good time. And I've seen some folk sit there and not get too stirred up about it. But I've seen others try to get up and get involved in it, and they ain't got nothing to get involved with. Now you better hear what I'm saying. I'll put more confidence in the man that just sits there than I will the man that tries to get in and ain't got nothing to get in about. No ring in his voice. No unction in nothing he says. No grace in his testimony. No nothing. Shoots nothing but an air ball in the testimony. Are you following me? I mean, you better watch that man until somewhere down the line, fellas. He's a pike that'll turn on the people of God. But it's sad to say that they're damned in their final estate. Nabal is. He's damned in his final estate. Humanity fallen and debased is a desert without an oasis, a night without a star, a dunghill without a jewel, and a hell without a bottom. That's a Nabal. Gentlemen, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Principle in the heart. Practice outwardly, and neither one of them lines up. Amen. Are you following me? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the morning. Bless now, I pray, the worship service in Jesus' name. Amen.